Imagine that a student, maybe you or that student, when you were in school, maybe you're still in school, and you're given a reading assignment, you know, day by day. Let's say it's history class. And for tomorrow, I want you to read pages 37 through 46 in your history books. And tomorrow in class, we will have a discussion about that. And so you do your homework each night and you get certain things done. I didn't quite get enough time to open the book and read it, but maybe you can skim over it right before class. So you get to class. Ding, 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 ding. The bell rings. You sit down and the teacher gets up and says, "All right, class, we're going to start today's class with a pop quiz on last night's reading." And you think, "Oh no, I didn't open the book." Or even worse yet, she calls on you. She says right there in the front, "Charles, why don't you come to the front of the class and tell the entire class, give the class a summary of last night's reading." And you're like, "Oh no, what do I do?" You get up and the reading was interesting and long. You have no idea what to say. You got up that day and you came to class totally unprepared for what lay ahead. But you had no idea that you were unprepared until the moment came. And there are a lot of times that a person will wake up and get, quote unquote, get ready. That's the phrase we often use, right? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to get ready for the day. What do we mean when we say I'm going to get ready? We usually mean whatever I look like. I'm going to put on clothes. I'm going to comb my hair, brush my teeth, and then I'm going to go out. And there may be a lot of things that happen in that day. And what a mouthful, what a big statement to say, I'm going to get ready for the day. That could mean any number of things. And as Christians, we need to start each day and be ready for the day. I've entitled our message this evening, "Ready for the Day." There's an interesting verse in Proverbs 27 in verse 1 that says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Today is still young. There's more things that could happen today. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, if tomorrow comes, we have no idea if tomorrow will come. But if you wake up tomorrow, if I wake up tomorrow, we have no idea what lies in store for tomorrow. Now, we may have a pretty good idea. We may have some, you know, grip on things that are expected, and maybe many of them will come. But there's a possibility that something could come from out of the blue. You have no idea. It could catch you or me totally unprepared, but it doesn't have to. If you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, we can wake up each day and start our day being prepared for whatever may come. The motto of the Boy Scouts were started a long time ago, early 1900s, and the motto of the Boy Scout has been for many years, "Be prepared." And that's a pretty open-ended statement. That could mean a lot of things. But be prepared. I want to read what the founder, a man named Robert Baden-Powell, the founder of the Boy Scouts, what he describes as being prepared, what it means. He says, "It means you are always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do your duty. Be prepared in mind by having disciplined yourself to be obedient to every order, and also by having thought out beforehand any accident or situation that might occur so that you know the right thing to do at the right moment and are willing to do it." So be prepared mentally. Be prepared in your mind for whatever might happen. And then he says, "Be prepared in body by making yourself strong and active and able to do the right thing at the right moment and do it." So he set out this course of training for young boys and teenage boys so that they could always be prepared for whatever would come in a given day. Some things you can know what can come and be prepared. Some things you have no idea, but you can prepare yourself for a lot of different scenarios so that if the unexpected happens, it catches us less off guard than it otherwise could. Those in the military are trained to always be prepared for whatever may happen, because when you're in the military, anything could happen. And when you're in the military, anything does happen. It's kind of like that rule. If the worst case scenario can happen, it will happen. We need to prepare ourselves for that possibility, because that's very often what happens. I want to talk this evening about spiritually being prepared for each day, whatever we may face. That I want to, real fast, before we get into some main thoughts, look at examples of two men that are contrasts in their readiness, in their preparedness for whatever they were going to face. One is named Ezra. And by the way, both of these use the phrase preparing of their hearts. They prepare, one prepared his heart, one did not. One was successful, one was not, because he was not ready. He had not prepared himself, prepared his heart. So first of all, the man named Ezra. This is when the Babylonian captivity has ended and the Israelites come back into the land and they need help spiritually. They need a leader, and a man named Ezra rises to the forefront. And Ezra 7:10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." And in his ministry there, he gets up in front of people and he challenges them. He prays, and as he prays a prayer of dedication and devotion to the Lord, a revival breaks out among his people and they come back to the Lord. And I believe that revival happened because he had prepared his heart for what could come next. Then there's a great contrast with a man named Rehoboam, King Solomon's son, King Rehoboam. He was a flop of a king, and it tells us why. 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 14, it says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." He didn't seek the Lord. He didn't end up seeking the Lord. And the reason he didn't end up seeking the Lord is because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't ready himself to do that. And then when certain scenarios presented themselves to him, he failed. He didn't ready himself for what lay ahead. So how can we have our hearts prepared to seek the Lord? How can we each day, when you roll out of bed, by the time you walk out the door, maybe you're staying at home all day, doing things on Zoom or just sleeping at home all day. But if you are facing the day out in the real world, how can you be ready for whatever may come your way? Now, I want to give three thoughts this evening. Number one, the first thing that we need is daily filling. We need to have a filling of some sort every single day so that we can be ready for whatever may come. And if you want to take your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Colossians 1, 9 through 11, here's what it says. Paul, by the way, is praying for the church of Colossae. It says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it of their salvation and growth in the Lord, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." So Paul said, I want you as a church to have a successful Christian life, that each day there is spiritual growth and success and fruit. And he starts off by praying that they would be filled with certain things, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we need to be constantly filled with knowledge. This is something that we should, you don't just learn everything and now you know it. As Christians, we need to keep stacking one truth on top of the other and to continually be filled with knowledge. Not just any knowledge, not 1 + 1 = 2. Not the earth is flat. I mean, the earth is round. Not just trivia, random knowledge, but the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of His will. What does God want me to know and to do today? We need to be filled with that. Where do we get this filling? We get it from the Word of God. We get into God's Word and we are filled as we are in it with the knowledge of God's will, with the knowledge of Jesus. What does Jesus think about this and this and this and this? And sometimes you have no idea what is going to be in play today. So as much as I can get, I need to stockpile this knowledge of God and His will for my life. We need to build up our conscience according to the Bible. There are a lot of times that people face a scenario. They have a choice to make. Should I do this or this? And they really have no idea which is the better choice. They don't know the difference between right and wrong because their conscience is not built up. Maybe they're faced with a scenario, oh, I could tell a lie. Well, yeah, it's not too big of a deal. It's okay to lie about this. And they don't feel bad about it. And it's because they're not filled with the knowledge of God's will. When God says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, their conscience is not built up according to the knowledge of God and His will. And we need to be filled with that knowledge. We also need to ask God for wisdom about how to apply that knowledge. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, is using knowledge aright. Using knowledge in the right way. It's one thing to know right, and it's another thing to know how to apply it, to end up doing that. And we need to ask God for wisdom to give us that discernment so that we would see what's happening, so that we would know the differences between right and wrong. Listen to Ephesians 5 and verse 18. It uses this word, filled. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The idea here is don't be drunk with wine, don't be filled with wine. It has to do with control. Don't be filled with wine and controlled with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit. This concept of filling is really important. It is elusive to some people. How do you be filled with the Spirit? Well, how do we know about the Holy Spirit? We know about Him through the Word of God. And to be filled with the Spirit, I believe, is like the concept of immersing yourself into the Spirit or into the Word of God until the Holy Spirit is saturating you, saturating your mind and your heart and your will and your desires. You know, there are some things that when you dip them in water, if you dip it in just a second, take it out, it's not filled. You know those water pistols, those little toy water pistols, and they have a little hole on top with a little plug. You pull out the plug, and then you can either pour water into it or you can dip it in water. And if you just take that and dip it in water for 1 second, pick it up, and you start shooting, there's not much water that's in there. What do you have to do? You have to hold it under the water for a while so that the water can slowly and gradually get into and fill the gun. And as you're holding it underwater, what's happening? There are bubbles coming to the surface. Why are there bubbles coming to the surface? Because there's air that was in the gun and it's coming out, and that air, those air bubbles and pockets are being replaced by water. And you hold it under until the bubbles stop. And then it's entirely filled with water, and now it can do its best work when it has the most amount of water in it. And that's a picture of what we need to do to be filled with the Spirit. We need to get into God's Word and not just dip our toe in it, not just jump in for a second and jump out, but we need to dwell in God's Word. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God until it fills us. So what does this mean? It doesn't mean that we just read it. It doesn't just mean that you read 37 chapters a day and then it's automatically there. Part of being immersed in God's Word is to get it inside of us and then to meditate on it, to get it in and kind of like mouthwash, get it in there and you just swish it around, you know. You swish it around and let it do its work before you spit it out. I'm not saying that we spit out God's word, but we get God's word inside of us and then we let it mull around in our hearts. We meditate on those truths. Listen to a few verses about what God's word says about meditating on his word. Joshua 1 and verse 8, God speaking to Joshua as he's taking over for Moses, leading the nation of Israel. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So get God's word. God says, get God's word in you, and then meditate on it. Think about it. What does this mean? How should I live differently because of this truth? What do I need to change? What do I need to improve? And we all have room for improvement, by the way. But you don't just get there automatically. We dwell, we meditate on God's word. And by doing that, we're filled with the Spirit. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, speaking about the blessed man, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." A tree is successful and brings forth fruit when its roots go down and are immersed in the water, by the rivers of water. And the water from that river comes up into the roots and fills the tree and brings forth fruit. And a successful Christian, the blessed man, is someone who is filled with the word of God. He meditates in it day and night, and then he's filled with the Spirit. Psalm 77, verse 11, the psalmist says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." So it says, I'm not just going to remember the works of the Lord. He says, I'm going to pull them up. I'm going to remember what God did. And then he says, I'm going to meditate of all thy work and then talk of thy doings. You think about something that God's done in your life or even someone else's life. Think of what God's done in the Bible and remember what he did and then meditate on that. Wow. That, if God can do that, then he can fix my situation. And by meditating on the works of God, we are encouraged. And then we can share that with other people. We'll talk of all his doings. Meditate on the things of God. Get them in you. And that is how we are filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, you want to turn there very quickly. Ephesians 6 verses 11 through 13 talks about the armor of God and how we need not just the armor of God, but we need the whole armor of God. We need all of the armor of God. We need to take this on day by day so that we are prepared for whatever we may face. Listen to the passage and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Ephesians 6 verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So twice there it says, because of what we face out in the world, we're not fighting against humans, we're fighting against beings that are much more powerful than humans. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And because of that, we need to take on the whole armor of God. We can't just dip our toe into God's word and then go out and face the devil. We need to get in God's word so that we take on and put on the whole armor of God. Imagine somebody goes out and he's going to go in a battle and he's going to fight. And you see him, he walks out. And he's got on shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops and a helmet. And it's a good helmet. It's a military-grade helmet. But that's all he's got. If that guy ran out to war, you would laugh at him. You would look silly because he's missing something. He's missing almost everything. No soldier goes out to battle with one piece of armor. Or imagine that he runs out and same t-shirt, flip-flops, and he's got a sword in his hand, but no armor at all. You would laugh at him. There's no way he's going to go and be successful. He needs to have on each piece of armor covering every vulnerable part of his body. You have to cover the vital organs. You have to cover the head. You should cover your legs and your feet. What if you step on something? What if something smashes your foot? You need as much armor as possible. We need the whole armor of God. By the way, if we go out and try to face life and say, I know I'm going to face today. Today I'm going to face something that's going to hit me in the head, so all I need is my helmet. You have no idea what you're going to face today. You could have something that comes for your heart. You could have something that comes for your feet. We need to be totally protected. And the way to be ready, both from an offensive standpoint and a defensive standpoint, is to be in God's Word. Think about talking about dipping in water. You dip a sponge into the water, and then you take that sponge and you clean something with it. You squeeze the water out onto a surface so that you can break down whatever grime is built up, and then you can clean it off. And if you take a sponge that you have squeezed out yesterday, and then left it out in the sun, it's totally dry. And now you go and you try to apply that sponge to a problem. There's nothing to apply. It doesn't have the new moisture, the new soapy water that it needs because it hasn't been dipped today. You say, but I don't need it. I did that before. I dipped the sponge in the soapy water before. Yeah, but now it's dry. And that's what we are as Christians. We dip into God's Word. We spend time. We're filled with the Spirit. We can go out and squeeze the sponge. But we've got to do it again. Because if we go, by the way, whatever we are immersed in, that's what's going to come out in our lives. So if you start your day in God's Word, and you read about the love of God and the kindness, the mercy of God, and you thank God for that. You say, God, give that to me today. And you go to work, and there's an abrasive coworker, and he says something or does something that is offensive. But then you have this sponge that you can squeeze, and out of your mouth and out of your life comes the love of God, the mercy, the pity of God, the long suffering. You can face that because you are prepared. You've been filled with the Spirit. You've dipped your sponge into God's Word and you're ready to apply it. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit's filling and all you have is yourself, if your sponge has just been dipped in your own heart and you go and you face that same situation, you're going to squeeze the sponge and the wrong things are going to come out. Your flesh is going to come out. And so we need to make sure that every day, the way that we're ready to face whatever, is that we are filled. We need a daily filling of God's Word, of God's Holy Spirit, of both offensive weapons and defensive armor, so that no matter what, we have no idea. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Whatever we face, we can face it if we are filled with God. And filled with Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit through His Word. So number one, we need a daily filling. Number two, something that goes along with this is that we need a daily determination. So we can have the knowledge of what we should do. We can be filled with understanding. I know that this is what God thinks. This is what God says. This is what I should do in a situation. But then beyond that, we need a determination. That I am going to do what I know to do. You see, so many times the problem is not that we don't know what to do. It's that we don't do what we know. We don't usually fail because we didn't know what to do. We usually fail because we didn't do what we did know. And the reason is often because we lacked a determination, a decision beforehand that I'm going to do right. In that situation, no matter what, no matter who, no matter where. Listen to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, one of the famous passages in the Bible about the man Daniel. He was taken out of his homeland, he and his friends, taken 500 miles away to Babylon. They're just teenagers. They're probably late teenagers. And, of course, I guess all teenagers are late. But they are in their late teens, probably. And Daniel is in a situation now where he doesn't know what all is going to be put before him. There's going to be dietary things. There's going to be commands. He may be commanded to bow down to an idol and worship a false god. And Daniel doesn't know in advance everything he'll face, but he makes a determination that he is not going to do wrong. So listen to Daniel 1 verse 8. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." You know the difference between Daniel and so many, maybe we could use the word well-meaning Christians? Is that so many Christians, they say, okay, I'm just going to go out and see what happens today. And once a scenario presents itself to me, then I'll evaluate it and decide what I'm going to do. Daniel didn't do that. He said, I'm going to decide now, before I even know what the situation is, I'm going to decide now that I'm not going to defile myself. If you wait until you're in the moment, sometimes the pressure is too great for you, and you'll buckle under the pressure. There's too many people around you. Well, I want to do right, but what about this and this? And if we haven't decided in advance, we're going to fail. So we need to have a daily determination. By the way, this is not something that you can determine once and then it'll carry you for the rest of your life. We need to keep making this decision day by day. Listen to Psalm 17, verse 3. The psalmist says, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." The psalmist says, I've decided in advance, before I even face, I might face some people that say things that are going to bring out the worst in me. Sometimes somebody criticizes you, and what do? You criticize them right back. Oh, yeah? You know, we one-up them. We're so competitive. Oh, yeah? Well, you did this. Well, your mom did. And all of a sudden, people say things. But the psalmist here says, I have determined in advance, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Listen to what Job says about his eyes. He says, Job 31 in verse 1, he says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I made a binding agreement with my eyes, between me and my eyes, that I'm not going to look at women. I'm not going to look at people and things that would lead me astray. I made a covenant in advance. I made a firm resolution and a decree to myself. I'm not going to do that. And you see, this is the next step. We need to do this every day. It's one thing to be filled with knowledge and I know what to do and be filled with the Spirit, but I need to have a determination in advance. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to go to work today, or I'm going to go to school, whatever I may face. And no matter what comes, I am going to do right. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be above reproach. I'm going to answer with grace and kindness and forgiveness. And I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to do right. We need that determination, that daily determination. Listen to the famous chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Have you made this decision in your Christian life? And more importantly, have you made this decision today? We need to do this every single day. I'm going to do right. I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care who's with me. I'm going to put the world behind me. I don't even want to think on that. God, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. I only want to look at the cross of Jesus and to follow after Jesus' example for me. We need a daily determination. And then number 3, not only do we need a daily filling of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. We need a daily determination. If we are going to be ready for whatever comes, we also need a daily prayer. And, you know, it kind of dovetails with the filling of the Spirit. But we need a daily prayer for strength and courage to do what we have just determined. You see, there are people who make it a certain determination, and then when the rubber meets the road, then when they are in hot water, then things change. And it's easy to make a decision ahead of time, and it's hard to carry that decision out. And we've all been there with things like New Year's resolutions. Have you ever made a spiritual New Year's resolution that has fallen by the wayside almost immediately? Or maybe you did it for a long time, a week or two, before the wheels fell off. And it's one thing to make a decision, but it's another thing to carry that decision out. And to do that, we need God's help. And we need to pray every single day that God would help us to have the courage and to have the strength to do those things that we have determined. It's often said, a famous statement, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There are so many people that have made good decisions. They have good intentions. They are well-meaning, but then it just doesn't quite happen because of what? Because of our flesh inside of us. Because the world and the devil are tempting us and our flesh gives in and we just fail. And we need God's help. And prayer is the way to get God's help. We need a daily prayer for God's strength and courage. Even the, I was going to say the great, he is a great man. I don't want to lift him up too high. But the great Apostle Paul, here's his testimony in his life day by day. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And Paul says, and he comes to the end of this passage and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He says, "I'm a wretch. I'm horrible. I can't stand myself. I want to do good things. And I've decided, maybe it was a certain habit, and I said, I'm going to be done with this. I'm never doing that again. And then I do it again. And certain things, I need to start doing this. And I don't get around to doing them." And that's life. That's all of us. And that's why we need more than just the determination. We need God's help. We need prayer for God's help to do what is right. You know, there are certain things that we can prepare for. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be around that coworker and he always says the same thing or he acts the same way and I need to respond a certain way. There are certain things that we can foresee and prepare ourselves for. And then there are certain things that we have no idea what's going to come. And God says there's also certain things that we really can't prepare for. Specifically, we can prepare our hearts, but we can't specifically prepare. And Jesus gives an example of this. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. He's speaking to his disciples, preparing them for coming persecution. He says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues," or unto the synagogues, "and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Now, this passage doesn't mean that we should never prepare for things in the Christian life. But Jesus is saying there are certain things that you can't expect and know exactly what you're going to say in every situation. The Holy Spirit will teach you, it says, in the same hour what you shall say. So then it begs the question, how is the Holy Spirit going to teach us? Well, we need to be listening to his voice at every moment. We need to be in constant prayer. We face a scenario. Oh, what do I do? God, help me. You know, give me wisdom right now. And the Holy Ghost can give us wisdom and strength and the words to say in that moment. We can't always prepare in advance for everything, but we can prepare our hearts in advance so that whatever moment, by the way, there's some people that get in a foxhole and they throw up a foxhole prayer and God says, you've been trusting in your own idols. You know, why don't you go cry out to them, see if they'll help you. God is not in the business of just bailing everyone out. We need to be prepared ourselves so that when we're in a difficult, unexpected situation, our cries for help in a moment are heard by the Holy Spirit, and He comes to our rescue, and He tells us what to do, and we hear Him. You see, there's got to be an open line of communication at every moment, so when the unexpected comes, we are ready at that moment. We didn't even know in advance what we were going to say, but we knew the Holy Spirit. We had prepared our hearts for that moment. What if you were to die today? Are you prepared for that? You know, there's things that we may face in a day that are part of life, life scenarios. What if somebody does this to you? What if you're tempted in this way? And we can prepare for life, but I want to finish with this thought. Are you prepared for death? What if you were to die today? Are you ready for that? Have you prepared yourself for what happens after death? What happens after death? Some people think, nothing happens after death. You're just obliterated. Some people think you come back and, you know, Uncle Charlie has come back as a cow or as an ant. So I hope I'm not going to kill any ants because it might kill Uncle Charlie. Okay, that's foolishness and nonsense. God tells us what happens after death. We immediately go to heaven forever or to hell. And we will stand before God. Every person stands before God. Are you ready to stand before God if you were to die today? Jesus tells a story about a man that wasn't ready. Luke 12, verse 19. The man was rich, and his big problem was he didn't have any more room to put all his riches. So he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and then I can store everything, and then I can just live it up. And he says this, Luke 12, 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And Jesus ends it this way. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If someone's not rich toward God, if they don't have God's righteousness in their bank account, so to speak, in their spiritual bank account, they're not ready. They're not prepared. They may have gotten out of bed. They may have looked in the mirror, made their hair look nice, put on nice clothes. They put on perfume or cologne. They smell great, but they're not ready for the day if they're going to die. Are you ready today to meet God? How about this? What if you don't die, but what if Jesus comes back today? Did you know that Jesus could come back today? No man knows the day or the hour, but it could be any moment, and we need to be watching. What if Jesus comes back? Jesus told a parable in Matthew 25 of 10 virgins that were waiting for a wedding. They're out on the side of the road until the wedding processional will come, the bridegroom and all the people that are with him, and they're waiting all day. It becomes night. It becomes midnight, and everyone falls asleep because they've been waiting all day. And all of a sudden, a trumpet sounds, and it says, the bridegroom is on the way. He's not quite here yet, but he's on the way. And all of a sudden, they get up, and five of them, they go to light their lamps because it's dark and they need to be able to see. Five of them don't have enough oil to light their lamps. They ask the other five, can we borrow some of your oil? And they say, no, we need enough. If we split it, we won't have enough. So the five go to the town to buy oil. And as they're gone, the bridegroom comes and they miss the whole wedding. Here's what it says. I'll just read the very end of it. Matthew 25, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And Jesus ends it with this, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming again. He's coming back. It's been 2,000 years or so since he left. And he said, I'm going to come back. The angel said he's going to come back the same way that he left, in the clouds. It could happen today. What if Jesus came back today? Are you ready? Or would you miss the wedding? There's a wedding coming, by the way, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all those that believe in Jesus will be taken into heaven and will be married to Jesus forever. Will be the bride of Christ. But those that aren't ready, it will be too late for them to get ready. Once the door is shut, the door is shut. You may or may not, I may or may not die today. Are you ready if you do? What if you don't die? But what if Jesus comes back? Are you ready? We have no idea what we may face today. We could face the worst day ever. We could face the greatest day ever. But whatever happens, we need to be ready for the day. We need to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word of God every day. We need to be daily filled. And then we need to make a daily decision. I'm going to do right no matter what. And then we need daily prayer that God, you would help me to keep that decision, to keep that commitment. Help me to have the strength and the courage to do right. If you do that, no matter what comes, you will be ready to face anything, because God is in you. God will be with you. God will help you. Are you ready? Let's pray together.